This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Uniting across the ocean.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The largest labor union in Britain, Unite, has agreed to merge with one of this country's biggest unions, the United Steelworkers. The deal announced yesterday will create the first transatlantic labor group. More now from Stephen Beard in London.
The two unions are planning to merge later this summer. The new organization will represent almost 3 million workers in manufacturing, finance, and the public sector in the US, Canada, Britain, and the Caribbean. But this is only the first step. They've also put out feelers to other unions in Asia, Eastern Europe, and Latin America. Derek Simpson is joint head of Unite. He says an international union will have real bargaining clout.
We have a view that we need a global trade union in order to be able to deal effectively and on a par with the many global companies that we now have members working for.
Some analysts say this raises the prospect of global strikes, and it may make it more difficult for some big companies to shift production to cheaper locations abroad. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The price of oil is really soaking the stock market at the moment. Oil's trading at $133 a barrel this morning, and where stocks are trading, they're down. In Japan, the Nikkei had its biggest loss in 6 weeks, a drop of 2.3%. Other Asian markets have fallen about 1.5%. European shares are down a fraction. Wall Street and the FTSE in London have the day off. Might be a good thing. The Dow fell 150 points Friday to wrap up Wall Street's worst week in 3 months. The Dow is now at 12,479. Can you believe it's almost June already? June, of course, is a big time for weddings. Weddings are a huge business, and the newest fad seems to be health clubs marketing to brides. Jill Barchet reports.
The average American wedding runs almost $28,000, not including the honeymoon or the engagement ring. So says The Knot, a bridal website. Well, now you can add $1,500 or so for the pre-wedding workout.
The bridal gowns are all strapless now, so you really need to be in shape to look terrific on that day.
That's Marianne Donner of the New York Health and Racket Club. She recently launched a program called Knockout Bride.
Weddings have become such a big production that when they see the bridal checklist and they read their bridal magazines, they realize that it's not just about budgeting for your flowers and your music, that you want to look the best.
This kind of prenuptial marketing is growing, says the Association for Wedding Professionals International. Gyms all over the country are pitching at brides. The trick is how to keep these newlyweds coming back after the big day. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet from Marketplace.
If you're flying U.S. Airways this summer, don't forget to pack your pretzels. Starting June 1st, the airline will stop handing out the little pretzel bags. You will still get a beverage. U.S. Airways hasn't figured out how much it'll save doing this, but it'll be nowhere close to covering its fuel costs, which have gone up $150 million. By the way, the major airlines just raised fares for the 11th time this year. Some tickets went up $60.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Gather.com, where friends can stay in touch. People are talking at Gather.com. And by Clarkson Potters, The Splendid Table's How to Eat Supper, the cookbook inspired by the radio program for people who love to eat, available now. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, online at shrm.org.
Time once again for Conversations from the Corner Office.
The boss will see you now.
Procter & Gamble is the world's biggest consumer products company. It makes a long list of things you may have used before. Charmin, Tide, Pringles, Pampers, Folgers. Procter & Gamble's CEO is a true company man. He's worked his entire career there. Kai Rizdahl recently caught up with A.G. Laffley at P&G's Cincinnati headquarters.
Consumers are notoriously fickle. They're sensitive to price. They're sensitive to packaging. They're sensitive to position on store shelves.
Consumers are great. I mean, honestly.
Have to say that. Come on.
No. But what you said, they are demanding. They are inconsistent. They are hard to understand. They do not say what they mean. You know, we work very hard to get at what we call unarticulated needs because it's very difficult for consumers to tell us.
It's interesting that you speak of the consumer as they, because you're a guy who goes to the grocery store and buys laundry detergent and razor blades. When you do that, somewhere in the back of your mind, is it churning that, oh, this product design isn't really all that great and we need to see about better shelf space and all that?
One thing my people know is when I've spent a Sunday in stores. Because I come back with a lot of suggestions on Monday morning.
Must drive them nuts.
Well, hopefully not. I think they're used to me by now.
You're lucky in a lot of ways that you sell stuff people really need. I mean, we're always going to have to brush our teeth. We're always going to have to shave and do our clothes. Are you worried about the state of the economy and the consumer mindset?
Well, I am a worrier by nature. I think it's very difficult to understand what's really going on in the U.S. economy right now. If you listen to the politicians and a lot of the discussion in the media, you would think we're mired in recession and ain't things awful. If you look at the hard numbers, we're still eking out very modest growth. And maybe it's no growth, and who knows, maybe we have slipped into negative growth in the last month or two.
What does that mean for this company?
The biggest pressure right now is clearly costs. You know, it's energy costs and commodity costs. Just about anything that is dug out of the ground, all the minerals, most of the agricultural commodities, the prices are just up across the board. This year that we will finish June the 30th, we have had to cover about $1.4 billion in additional cost. And what that means is we're going to be taking more pricing than we've taken for a while, and that's going to put pressure on consumers.
To hear more of our conversation with A.G. Laffley of Procter & Gamble, check out our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.